Okay.
Okay, I just wanted to thank everyone for the pre-Pesach gift. I didn't have a chance to thank everyone publicly. It's extremely appreciative, extremely grateful, myself and my family. It's not always easy to open one's wallet and give to others, especially at a time when you're giving plenty to yourself and being able to give to others. It's really something special. Rashi tells us at the beginning of Parashat Tzav that when it comes to bringing a carbon oila, we have to be mizaris to people because the carbon oila is a losing endeavor. You buy the animal and no one gets any animal out of it. So Chazal point out that when a person gives away his money, it's not always easy to do. So it's I'm very grateful and I appreciate it all. And Mr. Shem, we should only continue to grow together and learning for many, many more years. Parashat Shmini, very bekitzer, we spoke a lot about it on Wednesday night. I just think that Parashat Shmini has an interesting balance of roles between the what I consider the older generation and the younger generation. Medrash tells us that Klal Yisrael is compared to a bird, that a bird can't fly without its wings, so too Klal Yisrael can't fly without its wings. And the Medrash says that the Zekanim are the wings of Klal Yisrael. So we clearly see a very important emphasis on the Zekanim, those that are more wise than us, those that have been around more than us. And we have to realize that when making big decisions in life, major leaps in all areas, whether it be financial, spiritual, we have to turn to our Zekanim for guidance, and it's not correct and it's not right to make our own decisions on big areas and big issues when we think we know the answer. But the reversal is true also. In the middle of the parasha, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu realized he erred, and he apologized, and he admitted it. Rashi points out that Moshe Rabbeinu said that I admit I was wrong. He got upset at Aaron's children for disagreeing with him, and he realized he was wrong. Nechrenim point out as well, it's really Mefurash Gemara, that in order to be a great leader, one has to be able to admit their mistakes. So when I presented this over Shal Shudas, that the lesson of the Torah, I think, is twofold, that we have to feel comfortable turning to our Zekanim, but those that make those big decisions that are being turned to, they also have to be able to sometimes admit that they erred as well. They also have to say, yes, I made a mistake, I gave you the wrong advice, I gave you the wrong psak, I gave you the wrong whatever it may be. If you want, and people complain that the younger generation doesn't talk to the older generation, that's because maybe they sometimes feel that they're never willing to admit. I'm not saying this is an older, younger generation. This is a personal thing. Sometimes it's hard to admit when we make mistakes. Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem admitting he made a mistake, and it didn't make him any less chashuv. I don't think anyone lost any chashivas in the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu because he realized he made a mistake. I think people saw Moshe Rabbeinu as more human-like, so to say. So the achrayis of being a leader and being able to be that person that people turn to has to come along with understanding that it's okay to sometimes say, I did make a mistake. People can't admit their mistakes, then it's very hard to grow from them. It's very hard to connect to them. It's very hard to reach out to them. So in order to be a successful leader, and we need those leaders, as the Medrash says, we can't fly without the leaders. But the leaders, those people in that position, also have to realize that the responsibility that they carry to be a leader requires them to be able to have to admit. If they do err, if they don't make mistakes, that's great. I had a Talmud Aman who came to a share that I gave. I said over the story on Wednesday nights because I had to be married by my mistakes. I gave a share and I said a certain halacha and I thought I was right. And the Achrayim say I was right. But the Mishnah Berurah says not like me. And the Talmud came over, came up to me here. He said, but the Mishnah Berurah, the Minhag is not like you. So I told the Talmud, I made a mistake. So he told me, it's the first time you ever heard from a Rebbe who made a mistake. I said, hang around me more often. You'll hear plenty. Don't worry about it. You know, there was a certain Rav that when he started in the Rabbanis, his Rebbe told him that anytime you give a wrong psak, you have to get up the next day in shul and tell everyone the wrong psak and chazer and explain to everyone you were wrong. It's based on a Targum Yonis of Nuzil in last week's parsha. Targum Yonis of Nuzil says that not only did Moshe Rabbeinu admit to his mistake, he got up in front of everyone and gave a clap and told everyone, I made a mistake, I passed the wrong, I gave a whole shit. So that's a strong level of being able to admit your mistakes. But the idea that great leaders have to be able to make mistakes. Our president has a shtickle trouble with this midah. He has a little hard time admitting when he makes mistakes. Okay, he needs a little chizuk in that, I think. But it's important because the Torah is telling us that we need to turn to great leaders. So if we turn to great leaders, the great leaders in response have to be able to properly respond to us. We're a little late on time. I did want to talk a little bit about the beer controversy. I don't know if the Rabbanim has spoke about it and everyone's respective shuls probably spoke about it.
Beer?
The beer controversy. B-E-E-R this year. There's a big controversy this year if you're allowed to buy beer.
Yeah.
Everyone spoke about it already. Okay. Now the truth is, I can say it in 3 seconds. It's not a new shiloh. Okay. Let's sum it up really quickly. They discovered this year that one of the largest distributors of beer in this part of the world is called Manhattan Beer Company. It's owned by a nice, good Jewish boy.
George Wirth, I used to be the CFO there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So the owner of the company is a guy named Mr. Bergstein.
That's right.
Mr. Bergstein's a nice, he's a nice Jewish man. He's very Jewish. His children are all very Jewish. His wife is very Jewish. They're all very, very Jewish. Very nice Jewish family. So it's Chametz Shalva Pesach. It's a big problem. He's one of the biggest distributors. Now, the reason why this is not a new shaila is because the two largest goods distributor in this part of the East Coast for sure is also good Jewish boys. One is known as CNS. Also, two nice Jewish boys in 1917 started a company distributing goods, food, pasta, cereal, all those things, called Cohen and Siegel in 1917, I think 1918. And the other one is Krasdale. You see those trucks around? Those are the two big distributors. Most of the manufacturers of chametz are not Jewish. General Mills is not Jewish. The Italian, ones who make the pasta.
What does that mean, not Jewish? There are Jewish owners.
The majority. Okay, so the question is, what makes something Jewish? So Rav Moshe has a chiddush that it depends on who's the majority owner of the company, who has the most. Rav Moshe does have another chumrah that people don't talk so much about, that even if, let's say, for example, a Jew is a minority owner, but he has a lot of say in it, he manages it, he makes big decisions, so then even though he doesn't have 50% of it, Rav Moshe holds out, it would still be Jewish owned. So General Mills is, let's say, for example, let's just assume, and this is what the experts and cashers have told me, that the it's not a problem in the manufacturer, it's only a problem in the distributor. So how do we get around CNS and Krasdale? These are the two largest distributors in the East Coast. Of all our chametz comes from them. They're all Jewish. So how do we get around it? So what they started doing was, CNS was selling their company. CNS would sell the chametz. So CNS would sell the chametz, and therefore we have no problem. Now there's a couple of problems. First of all, how real is the sale of CNS? Let's assume CNS is worth millions and millions of dollars. So can you imagine before, it's like you do with the guy, right? You go before Pesach, you tell the guy, listen, I'm going to sell you a multi-million dollar company. You're not going to give me millions of dollars. You'll give me $15 for a down payment. Then after Pesach, we'll take the rest. Now, let's be honest. How?
It's not.
It's really not. It's not so different. Some people want to tie it that it's different is because, well, how much is your chametz worth in your house? No matter how good your schnapps is, it's going to max out at $500, $600. We don't want a multi-million dollar company over here that you're telling me I'm selling to a guy who I would never trust him with anything more than cleaning the toilets. I'm going to sell it to him for $10 down payment.
Sell it without a whole stream of events happening. You know, it's not like you can just get up and sell it because they're shareholders.
Oh, right. And the other issue is there's an insurance issue over here. Because if you sell this to the janitor, whoever you sell it to, what happens if a fire breaks out over Yom Tov and CNS? Someone's going to have to pay for everything. It becomes very, very complicated. But Rav Moshe held that you can do it. Rav Moshe held you can do it. But the other problem is they're open all of Pesach. CNS doesn't close. So if CNS is open over Pesach and CNS is... who's netting the profit? Who's netting the profit? CNS is. Let's not make any mistakes. CNS is not losing out a week's worth of profit.
They're not giving it
to the guy. No, so they're open. So Rav Moshe wrote three tshuvas where he says that's not a problem. It's not that the mechir is batal, it's that you're a ganav. So CNS are a bunch of ganavim, but they're not mevatal mechir. That was Rav Moshe's shita. But there's another huge problem. Rav Moshe was talking about when you'd sell the chametz. Which means CNS has a huge warehouse where they buy from the manufacturer and they keep it in their warehouse. But what happens over the new stuff that gets delivered from the manufacturer? So Rabbi Belsky, to fix this problem, instead of selling the chametz, he sold the company. So by selling the company, you bypass all the problems. You sell the company, so now the guy owns all the company. Everything that comes in is his. This was Rav Moshe's chiddush. Rabbi Soloveitchik did not agree to this. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought this is a big fat aroma. This is a joke. To sell a multi-million dollar company and be open on Yom Tov and doing business, he thought it was a very, very big joke. But those that are Tamidim of Rav Moshe, Rabbi Belsky and the OU and the Chafke, and those all those organizations with Saimach on that. So when you go to the kosher stores today and you want to buy pasta, you're buying somewhat controversial pasta. So I always thought that one of the kosher stores, at least by us in Queens, I thought they do this, was before Pesach, they stock up. They go to CNS, they say, do me a favor, deliver me 2 weeks worth of products, I'll store it in my basement, and then Matzah Yom Tov, I'll take it out. So they don't do that, at least not in Queens, maybe they do it here in the Five Towns, because you have to have a lot of storage. By us in Queens, we don't have so much storage. So what the Rabbanim did this year in Queens was, they worked out with Kifud. Kifud's not owned by Jews, so they bought all the extra stuff, kept it in Kifud. And this way, Kifud's not Jewish. They bought all the stuff before Pesach from CNS. So this way, there's no Chametz Shavah Lev Pesach problems at all. It's not one problem. They ran out of the food already.
Right.
So,
no,
it's not going to last so long. So most of the stores that you're going to and you're buying, so even if you're going to a kosher store and you're buying noodles, you're still being Samech on Rav Moshe. Now, the biggest irony in all this is how many people say, I don't sell Chametz Gomer. Oh, well, you're buying chametz gomer. It's very nice you don't sell it, but you're buying chametz gomer. So the answer is, everyone says, chametz gomer, what am I supposed to do? This is the way the world works.
What do they do in Israel?
What do they do in Israel? They probably do something like this also. You have no choice. You know, someone even told me in the industry, he said, even if we had a from manufacturer, distributor, no one could be closed for a week. It's such a massive business, the food business. This is like our hands are tied. So the beer shaila is the same shaila. It's the same shaila. This year they tried to, someone from the OK tried to convince this Mr. Bergstein to sell his business. Again, also probably a multi-million-dollar business. So the way the story goes, this fellow from the OK baked him a beautiful babka, and he met him in his office, and he told him, please, please, let's sell it. So, you know, the way through a Jewish man's heart is always through his stomach. So he bought him a beautiful babka, and supposedly he sold the company for a week. Which, if that's the case, so then it's no different than CNS. I don't know why everyone makes such a big deal about it. What's even more so with the beer, someone told me that, at least in maybe parts over here in New York, there are two other Korean distributors of beer. Not just this guy Bergstein, there's those two Koreans. So that makes it already a Suffolk. Mr. Brewer Paskins, it's a Suffolk Durabani, you can go Lukula. So if you don't know where your beer was distributed, you can go Lukula, it came from the Korean. Now, the truth...
the same brands, or they have different exclusive brands?
I think even the same brands. I think...
They
gave all the list.
They all have territories, yeah.
I don't know. This is what this guy told me. So I'm not sure why you can't just ask the store. If you ask the store who your distributor is, you should be able to figure this all out. If he tells you it's Bergstein, so again... So someone said to me, I wasn't able to verify this, that supposedly the last minute this Mr. Bergstein got scared and he didn't sign the shtar, he had a manager sign the shtar. So that's taka funny. If his manager signed the shtar and not him, I don't know how that works. Now, some people argue that this whole thing is a joke because in a legal court, this would never stand up. If you have your shtar hashoah and you take this to court, this would be a joke. So someone showed me an email that someone from Rabbi Forrest Bezdin wrote that they did it more real. They did it in a way that it could. So that's a machloikis achroinim. That's a big machloikis achroinim. That's a machloikis achroinim. Can you do a shtar mechira where it does not have validity according to the secular world, but it has validity in the Jewish world? That comes up in a lot of areas. Many people who want to sell their apartments for Pesach, and they're subletting it. That's illegal. You're not allowed to sublet an apartment. So how do you get around that? So some achroinim, but B'liyashiv is grad of Mekel. He thought it's okay. But that's already tshuvas. Achroinim already wrote tshuvas on this. So I heard someone yesterday telling me that the beer is such a controversy, it's against the tshuva from the Maram Sheik and the tshuva from the Divya Yoyal. So I told him, what does it say in the Divya Yoyal and the Maram Sheik? It says you can't sell chametz and be open a whole Yom Tov. That's not new. Rav Moshe knew that also. And Rav Moshe was matir CNS to do that. So I'm not sure why everyone thinks... I don't see why the beer tumult is any different than the CNS crowd del tumult, which we've been tumbling about for 30 years. Someone told me this year there's a bigger problem. Arnold's bread. They found that this year is distributed by a possible Jew. So this year, next year, they're going to be more machmed about it. What do you do with Arnold's bread? Although Arnold is not Jewish, but they have a distributor that might be Jewish. So that's... becomes a real problem. You have to find out if they're selling the chametz or not. But that's...
How long do you have to wait until it's
still... So beer, I think, lasts a lot longer. They don't make it as often. I think the beer stays longer. So the cookies and cakes, you can assume. So everyone gives up these numbers. They're not really based on anything. If people say lagbayim, people say shuas, it's not really based on any halachic ruling at all. It's when the turnover is. So you really should find out when they turn over these things. So... the truth is, when you go to the kosher store and you go to the non-kosher store, you're really getting the same thing. The maila is that by the kosher store, you know it wasn't on the shelf. Again, if the kosher store was a vade goyish, then it's not a problem. 7-Eleven. You can buy anything you want in 7-Eleven. Then it's not a Jewish store.
Yeah, but if you got this...
But he got it from a distributor that was holding it.
And so is Gourmet Glot, my friend.
Yeah.
So is Gourmet Glot's
food. But you can pay more in the Jewish store, so...
Yeah, I'm saying, you're getting the same thing. You're getting the same product. Unless they're getting from somewhere else, you're getting the same thing. So I don't really understand. The only issue could be if you're going to buy it in a store where the store is not Jewish, where the store is Jewish and the store doesn't sell. Then you have a problem. Because that sat on a shelf of a store. That's Chomet Shavuot of Pesach. But the CNS was sold. Rabbi Belsky was involved in the Chavki, sold all of CNS's Chomet this year. It was all sold. With a legal star and the whole shebang. If you want to trust it, Rav Moshe did, others didn't. Yeah, I'm not sure what you're supposed to do if you don't trust it. You could then do is go Matzei Pesach and go to a Goyish store and buy up everything they have in the store. That's your best option. Or don't eat bread and cookies. And again, it's only really a problem for what we call chametz gomer. Bread, cookies, things like that.
But you said it depends how long you have to wait.
Depends on what the turnover is. I don't know how often CNS is coming out with new stuff. I don't know.
I mean, unless you're shy. A shiksa are brought into work, which is owned by non-from Jews, tons of Girl Scout cookies a month ago. So I told the from guy that you can't eat it.
Why?
So it's chametz shavuot of
Pesach. Who owns it?
Well, she gave it to work. The work is owned by three non-from Jews and a guy. No?
Why were they kain it? The assumption is you weren't kain it.
They're not kain it?
They don't want to be kain the chametz on Pesach.
They don't even know about
it. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, so that, again, so that, I think we can sum it up. I think there's a lot of articles written in Jewish magazines and Jewish websites. I think, to my opinion, that's the whole shebang. It's not a new shaila, it's an old shaila, and I don't know. I'm not sure what people should do. A person wants to drink beer for Shalom Zarcha, what should they do? I don't know. I think there's some brands that are not a problem. I think someone told me some of them are...
Budweiser
is not a problem. Not, yeah. Budweiser is not a problem.
But it's not really beer.
Oh, that's the word. It doesn't count. So I don't know. But I think Budweiser you could be Mekel with. But again, if you go into a beer store and you ask them who your distributor is, maybe they'll tell you and then you can get clarity. You'll know what it is.
But I'm saying if the beer store isn't going, what's the shadow?
Because it's his distributor.
But I'm saying, I bought it from that
particular
person.
That's my headline. But, if the distributor owned it over Pesach, when does the distributor own the beer? So if there's a long beer, you have to know, it could be beer lasts long on the shelf. So if you go now to a store and you see, and they say, yeah, this beer has been here for 3 weeks, yeah, you're fine. No problem, 100%. You just have to know all about it. If they can tell, again, I don't know what the life expectancy of beer is. I'm not sure how long it stays on the shelf. Now I think it's much longer, someone's telling me. I think now you can go into a beer store. Okay. But now already 2 weeks after Pesach. Now already it's getting a little harder. Right after Pesach, where I probably would have been fine. Cereal can be long. Could potentially have a long life expectancy on the shelf. Like some of the crackers, cookies. But the funny thing is, even if you go buy Lieber's Hamish or cookies, they sold their chametz also over Pesach. Don't think for a second they didn't. How else do you think they're making money? Lieber's is one of these huge companies. They also sold their chametz with a mechira. So if you're going to be semich on the mechira, you're going to be semich on the mechira. So it gets a little tricky. It used to be that...
Why is all this difference from schnapps, which really has a long shelf life?
Schnapps would be the same problem, yeah. They had a shaila many years ago about bourbon. They found that one of the distributors of bourbon was also Jewish. So Shlomo Miller in Toronto came up with this whole kula where he thought the main ingredient in bourbon is really the corn. He thought the ikker was the corn, and therefore, since corn is only kidneys, he was mekel. But I was a big tumult about it. Someone was telling me this a few years ago. Bourbon was a major problem. I think that the reason why scotch is not a problem is I think the distributors are just not Jewish. If you go to a Jewish store who's not religious and you want to buy a bottle of schnapps, you're going to have a problem. Because that's Chamesh Shalva Pesach. You're going to have a problem. You're going to ask him if he sold the store, which he probably didn't. So then you got to be careful. That would present a problem. But if you're going to go to a kosher store, so they probably sold all their chametz, and the distributor's not an issue, so that would be okay.
But Israel is the same problem?
I don't see why not. They got to get around the day. There was a whole Mises in Eretz Yisrael. Some guy forgot to sell a whole tons of bread. They burned tons and tons of stuff. That's what you got to do. There is a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah has an argument. Let's say, for example, I did Bedikas Chametz, I did everything properly, I burnt my Chametz, and then I found somewhere hiding, and I didn't know about Chametz Shavuot Pesach. So Mishnah Berurah is a tzad that since you did everything kedabayi, we don't knas you. So Mishnah Berurah says if it would be a Hefse Meruba, we'd be able to be Mekel. Now, I don't know if this guy did everything he was supposed to. He overlooked it.
What's funny is that? He said it did Bittul. Is that?
Still awesome. It's still awesome. Mr. Brewer Paskin said, even if you did everything properly, everything you're supposed to do, we're Machmer. Shulchan Aruch Rav is Machmer. The Chuk Yaakov is Mekel. But the Mishnah Berurah says, if you have some Ruba, there's Machmer to be Mekel. So I was wondering with that bakery case where they burnt a lot of stuff, maybe there was a reason to think they did everything properly. I'm not sure. But normally, it's going to be a problem. It's an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's Isser Hano also. It's a very Chomadik Isser. Meaning, let's say, for example, you have a bottle of schnapps that it's questionable if it's Chomad Shavuot Pesach. You can't give it to a coworker. That's Isser Hano. You have mamash have to flush it, throw it down the drain or something. You can't really get Hano out of it. You can't even give it away to a non-Jew. It's a very Chomadik Isser. So you have to, it gets very tricky what you can do with these things. So most of the times we assume that everything was done kedas or kedin, but not always. So again, I think the beer shiloh to me is not any different than the CNS shiloh. I don't know what everyone's tumbling about. I just think it means we finally realized that beer was distributed by Jews. But the CNS shiloh has been around forever. I don't know, since Moshe wrote three tshuvas. Moshe doesn't write specifically about CNS, but he wrote three tshuvas about this shiloh, about when a company sells the chametz and they're open on Pesach, what's the status? Moshe was a big maker. I think the OU had internal politics about this, because Rabbi Belsky said like Rav Moshe, and I think Rav Shechter was going like Rav Salvechik, so they had a little bit of an internal issue what to do in the OU over this. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, the OU is, they try to be machmer with this, but I don't know how you machmer with this. CNS is not open, CNS is definitely not closed for Pesach, and they're definitely making money over Pesach. So as one fellow told me from the Vada Kashrus, he said, listen, you have to understand, Klai, we got to do what we got to do. You know, if we tell people they can't buy cookies and cakes for 2-3 weeks, for a month, it's not really going to go too far. So we got to rely on coolers.
So is
that, yeah, we got to, again, Moshe was a chashev yid. You know, no one's saying Moshe has what
he
to
be
said.
He knew how to learn.
Yeah, he knew what he was talking about, but it definitely was controversial, and they did it because of Eis Lasas Hashem. Again, back in the day, before everything was so commercial, it was no big deal. You baked everything yourself, so you didn't have to worry. You baked it when you wanted, and you bought flour after Pesach, no issues. Now everything is so commercial. We don't do anything ourselves now, so now we got to be samech on all these companies. It gets somewhat controversial, but I know someone was telling me that the Star K wasn't very happy with the mechira of the beer. I'm not really sure why the mechira of the beer is any different than the mechira of CNS. I don't really understand it. It's the same thing. You're selling a multi-million-dollar company for a down payment to a guy you would never do a business deal with in your life. They take the, you know, the guy in the company. Maybe you take a higher ranking. That's why I think some people say you should try to take someone from within. If you take someone from within, at least it gives a little credibility. If you take some guy outside on the street and you say, oh, you know what, I want to sell you a multi-million-dollar business, it's the whole thing's a joke. But again, I'll be honest with you, I did Mechiras Chametz this year. I did Mechiras Chametz this year with a wonderful guy. I don't know, they talk about a Kelev Shaita. I'm talking about a human Shaita over here. The guy was mamish, I don't know, he's just sitting there nodding. I'm trying to explain to him what we're doing. You think this guy walked away thinking for a second that he now owns all this chametz? He doesn't know which way is up, which way is down. You know, so that to me, I thought was a little bit of...
I didn't tell him any lumdas.
I told the guy, I said, you don't know how wealthy you are. You own everyone's chametz. He's like, okay, yeah. What we want to make sure he shows up Matzah Shabbos so we can buy back from him. That was our biggest concern, that he shows up Matzah Shabbos.
And not drunk.
He showed up Matzah Shabbos, he was sober, and we made a nice business deal, and I think those people who make fun of the mechira, it's no different than really the mechira we do with the guy. Some people say, I don't sell chametz gomer for that reason. Which is fine, that's valid taina. Reb Soloveitchik was very machmir not to sell chametz gomer for that reason, but what do you do afterwards? You're still stuck with the same problem. So, I don't know, I'm not sure what people are supposed to do. Maybe here in the Five Towns, I don't know, maybe the stores stock up before Pesach, I'm not sure. But else in Queens, we don't have enough space. So the stores can't buy extra goods and store it. They don't have a place to store anything. But maybe here in the Five Towns there's more space. I'm not sure what they do. You ask your local
vod. They do the next order.
Right, I don't know how long it's going to get you, right? No, but could be by now, by the next order, it's ready afterwards. In the next order, you have to find out the turnover from the manufacturer to the distributor. How often they're making cereals and cookies. I don't know. It's complicated, but again, as far as I see, this is not a new shiloh, the beer shiloh. Just as we go on, we're going to see there's more and more things we don't realize are owned by Jews. That's all that's going to happen. Someone's telling me now a lot of the Amazon stuff, it's also tricky. If you do Amazon stuff, you don't know whose hands they are on. There's a lot of different hands involved until it gets to you, so you got to be careful. So again, I'm not sure what all the details are.
Yeah,
you don't know who's... Exactly, that's a problem. So you got to be careful. That could really be a real problem, but...
But you can also go be some kind of rove. Rove people are goyim.
So Mustama. I think rove of the world are probably goyim. It's
so
true.
So if you're buying just random things,
I think now they're saying now that... someone was saying over this year that it's becoming... They had more shilas with this. As someone told me in the industry, he said the problems are not getting easier with chametz. They're only getting more complicated. The more advanced we're getting, the shilas are becoming bigger, and we're realizing more and more Jews are involved, and it's just becoming a bigger, bigger problem. So, I don't know. Not sure what the answer is, but that's the lumdus in a nutshell. Okay.
If a store is owned by a guy, how far is your responsibility to go and ask what his distributor was and all this, unless you know for sure you have to start asking?
So if you go right after Pesach, you don't have to worry. Because then it was there before. But the week after Pesach, you don't know when his distributor... I don't know when he got his deliveries. So again, if you're saying Mechan the Mechir, so you don't even have to worry. But I think that's why people say the best thing is to go Matzah Yom Tov, go to a non-Jewish store and stock up on everything you can get.
But wait, maybe he got a delivery on Pesach. How does that take
care? You're right. You don't know. It's possible. You're right. You don't know. 100%. You never know. Unless you're tracking it with a complete sign.
They say the shelf life is 6 months to 2 years on Google.
Really?
Yeah.
For what product?
For what?
2 years for beer.
For beer.
Pantry versus refrigerator.
So that's very good. That's very helpful.
Yeah. It's worse.
No.
And you have a problem in December.
Last year.
Right, you may have a problem in December from last year's
Pesach.
That far we don't go.
But maybe how do we
know? Yeah, I don't know.
So it gets tricky.
Like people drink beer like crazy. Yeah.
It gets complicated. Okay.
So you're basically saying that we should all eat non-gebrachs the whole year long to avoid this issue?
No. I'm just here to explain that these are not new shilas. That people are talking about this beer controversy. Like it's, I don't think it's a new shilah. I think it's whatever you hold for the old shilah about Krasdale and CNS, which Rav Moshe already paskined on it, and Chav K did it, and OU. I don't know. I think Rabbi Belsky was a big proponent for this. Even though Rabbi Belsky himself wouldn't sell chametz gomer, and when Rabbi Belsky himself,
so what are you selling? That's the whole
reason. So Rabbi Belsky, what he used to do was he used to take a little box of a few things, he'd put it in a box, take it to the guy next door and make his own private mechir with the guy next door. He took it out of his house because the Bach says, "What?" And then he buy it back after Pesach. Because part of the problem is based on the Chumas Hadeshin, is you're not supposed to have the chametz in your house over Pesach. So how do we get all around that? So what we do, we're soicher the makim to the guy. So some people don't think that. So what he does is he took a little box of his ketchup and his mayonnaise, which is taruvah's chametz, and he brought it to the guy next door and explained to the guy what he did. And that's how Rabbi Belsky used to sell his chametz. Chametz gummy didn't sell. No, that's the way they say it. I don't know. A lot of people didn't sell chametz gummy, but I was listening to someone give a share on this, and I think he was incorrect about what he said. We've mentioned this many times for salvation. The reason why people don't sell chametz gummy is so someone told me, because chametz gummy is more valuable than non-chametz gummy. So I don't sell chametz gomer because that's aroma on the mechira. The guy's totally wrong. That has nothing to do with anything. Chametz gomer, the reason why people don't sell is because that's an issa derais. The b'chor shor writes in psachim that you're not allowed to do aroma on an issa derais. Taruvah's chametz is only an issa derabon. So on an issa derabon, you're allowed to do aroma. That's at least the way Rabbi Salvechik always said it over. So this guy was telling me that the reason he doesn't sell chametz gomer is because chametz gomer is more expensive. Not necessarily true. You could buy a bar of, you can have a piece of cake that's not worth so much money, as opposed to something which taruvah's chametz is, could be more expensive. I don't think it has anything to do with the price value. It has to do with the fact that taruvah's chametz is only nisqar bonon, while chametz gomer is nisqar rice. I think that's the answer. But plenty of people don't sell chametz gomer. The Vilna Gaon wouldn't even buy chametz gomer. The Vilna Gaon would not buy anything from CNS. He wouldn't buy anything from the kosher stores. So all the stores sell chametz. That's how they have a business. Every kosher store before Pesach sells whatever they have in inventory. They don't dump it. I'd be a huge hefset. They all sell it, so we're saying on their mechira. So why are we not? It's sometimes the more you know, the more complicated it is. You know, we always think, well, the kosher stores, everything's got to be good in the kosher stores. You know, it's a little tricky, but I think we shouldn't feel. I don't think we should feel that guilty. I think Rav Moshe is definitely someone we can feel comfortable being Samech. Okay, we're supposed to learn Gittin. Okay, let's get back to the sugya over here in Gittin. So what I did over here was if anyone remembered from the week before we stopped, we were doing Gittin sugya. We didn't finish the whole sugya, so I want to go through it again. But so people shouldn't think I was just had a week off. I didn't have to prepare a share. I prepared another share, so this way we can do both. So this way we can finish up the sugya before and do our last sugya. What it looks like to me is that we're running down to the end of Maseches Gittin. I know we've been spending a lot of time in it, but I think it's time to say Adkan Maseches Gittin. I'd like to finish up one more major sugya of Isuri Hana. We talked about it a lot. We keep on talking about giving a get with Isuri Hana. So I want to do a couple shurim and Isuri Hana, and then I think we're going to switch Masechtas. I didn't want to switch Masechtas without discussing with everyone, of course. I'm new to learning something very much out of the box that is not commonly learned, and you might be a little surprised by it, but I want to learn the 19th parak of Shabbos. The 19th parak of is Rebbe Lozer de Mila. Rebbe Lozer de Mila is...
Give Robert 30 seconds.
Okay.
Guys, sorry for interrupting. Shir. The shul's having the annual dinner next Sunday.
We're part through the sugya over here. We left off last time. We were learning an interesting Gemara on Daf Chaf on the base. The Gemara reads like this. This is on the first page one that has a back to it, if that makes any sense. There's two pages, yeah. Zakti Gemara, boy, you mean Rav Nachum? Rav asked Rav Nachum a question. Kosev laget al tath shel zahav. A person writes again on a piece of gold, and he takes a piece of gold and he writes into the gold. He writes the nusach of the get. V'amalo, and he tells the lady, skabli gitech v'skabli ksuba sech. He says, here, take your get and take your ksuba. A package deal. She gets a piece of gold which is valued as a ksuba, with on it written the words of a get. So the question is, can this double as a get and a ksuba? That's the Gemara Shai. That was the question that Rava asked with Nachman. So obviously you have to figure out what's the study hasafik. Why yeah, why not? Can you accomplish two things with one thing or not? Does there a din that has to be a ksuba and a get? Or one package? This one mice in a sino will act as both a get and a ksuba. That seems to be the Shai. So there's a Rabbi Yosef Engel has a shtickle where he's medayik from a Gemara that you can't do in one action two mitzvahs. So he has a kasha over here. You're doing two mitzvahs. You're being pareachoy, which is a mitzvah, and doing get, which is a mitzvah. So the truth is, neither of those two things are true, or 100% true. Prius b'achoyiv is a mitzvah. That's true, but get's not so posh that it's a mitzvah. Get might just be a matter, not a mitzvah. Okay, that's a Rabbi Yosef Engel's are on the Gemara. So what's the Gemara?
Problem that she has to receive the get.
Right, so we're going to have some form of gittin v'ksuba boink echot. The Taz points that out. We'll get to that later.
Why should you not be able to be accomplished?
He has a ra'ay from a Gemara in right. Somewhere where the Gemara says this idea that you can't do one mice in a tilah of something. The Gemara is talking about a lulav at aravis. The Gemara says you can't shake a lulav that has in it aravis also and be yetzir both aravis and lulav. So that's the mashmos of a Gemara there. That's what he's talking about. Okay, so the Gemara answers, oh, Malay, what was Rav Nachum's response to Rav? And the Skabla Gitz, and the Skabla Ksuba Seich, it works, no problem. You could do a package deal, it's not a problem. Esve, Rava asked back to Rav Nachman in the campy. It says in the price, if let's say the husband gives her a get, he says, here, take your get, and whatever left, throw it towards the ksuba. So the halach is neskabligita vashalik subasa. So halach is that the get works and the rest goes to the ksuba. Taima de kasha. That's because there's something left. Meaning the paper itself had the words of a get, but there was extra margins on the paper. There was extra space on the paper. So he told her, here's the get, and all the extra parts on the paper, that should go to the ksuba. So the Gemara said, you see from here, taima de kasha. That's because there was leftover. Halek kasha loy. But if there'd be no leftover, which means the get and the ksuba were all one entity, there's no extra space anywhere, then it wouldn't work. Ah, you told me it works. So the Gemara says, no. Loy, not true. Who had the Navagav the Lekasha? No, it would work even if there's no extra paper. I have a Hokam Ashmal, what's the Chiddush? The Avagav the Kasha, even if there's leftover room, the Omar Loy, in Eloy Loy. The only time you can use a get and a ksuba together if you explicitly say so. My time, Avir the Megiltahu. Because if you don't say that you want the leftover space to be used as a ksuba, the assumption is it's not going to be used as a ksuba. It's only if you speak out explicitly that I want it to go for a ksuba. So now the question is, what's the issue? What would be so wrong about using a get and a ksuba in the same way? So Rashi writes over here, number two, the b'makim get boi lemeit of lo matona gemura mishum geushin. So Rashi, because in the place of the get, you have to give her what's called a matona gemura. Now we've spoken a lot about the v'nosan in the Torah. The Torah says v'nosan lo sefer krisus. What does that mean? So it says Rashi, you have to give her a matona gemura for the sake of geushin, v'loi l'shem peroin, but it can't be as a payment. Because it says in the Torah, v'nosan. So what exactly do all these words mean in Rashi? It sounds like from Rashi that the problem over here would be is that the v'nosan means I'm giving you something because I choose to give it to you, not because I'm legally bound to give it to you. A payment is something I have to give. That's a peroin. I have to do it. So Zog Rashi, when the Torah says v'nosan, it doesn't mean give something that you have to. I have to give a ksuba because the Chazal said that if you divorce a lady, you have to give a ksuba. So this giving is not so much on my own want and wishes, I'm kind of forced into giving it. Get has to come from my own. That's the way the words of Rashi seem to read. Now, who told the Gemara that's what Vinasa means? Vinasa means give, period. Give over. So I gave. I took a piece of paper and I gave it to her. So here we're delving deeper into the simple reading of the Torah, and when the Torah writes the word Vinasan, that it has to be not only a physical giving from hand to hand, it has to be with a specific intent of why it's come. If you look over here, number 3 in the Sefer HaTorah Shmuel, he has a different understanding of Rashi. He writes, "Milishenoi mashma." From the words of Rashi, it's mashma stein ikra chasar mishum denasan l'shem perein. The problem wasn't because you gave it for the wrong intention or for a different intention. That's not the problem. You can give a get for the purpose of a perein; it still works. Elo ikra mishum deinkan matona gemura. The problem is not because that it's a perein. The problem is because that it's not a matona gemura. Now, what does that mean? He says, "V'nir kavanasa b'mashkasav k'tzayis." The k'tzayis has a chiddush. Ta'afil lashitas this really the kinyan of mahani beget. We spoke many times about this. Machlokes b'shainim. Can a husband be makne the get to his wife through kinyan sudr? They'll each pick up the handkerchief, and through that, the get will be hers. No v'nasa, no yada, nothing. So Rashi shita is earlier in the 8th parak. The Rashi holds that works. So zok the k'tzayis, even if that works, even if you hold agav works. Rashi Shita in the beginning of the paragraph, you can use agav, you can't use kinyan sud. What's the difference? Says the k'tzoyis, loy mehani lahaktis get ide kinyan sud, mishum degabi get ksiv nosan, tahainu nesinas matono, v'chalip in derech mekach umem kerhave. The Torah says v'nosan, it's not only what to do, but it's how it needs to be given. V'nosan means in a matona setting, as opposed to something like sudah. Sudah is always used in a business setting. That's where you do business. You want to do business, you pick up the handkerchief. That's a business setting. Zoktik tzoyis, even Rashi would agree that I can use all the kinyon, but I can't use any kinyon that's always associated with a business type experience. Kinyon agav was often used to gift something to someone. I wanted to give you a gift, so I would do kinyon agav. Zoktik tzoyis, kinyon sudah is too much in the mekach umemkar world, therefore it doesn't work. So says the Ateres Shmuel, if that's the pshat, v'imkein hu adin hacha. Kiven de'enei nosan lahaget b'matono el b'tmura avor piroin. The problem over here, it's like an exchange. Because why am I giving you the get? I'm giving the get as an exchange for the money that I owe you. That's too business-like. That's not the way it's supposed to be. This is not supposed to be a business deal. This is supposed to be a giving, a one-sided giving. You're turning this into a business deal because you're giving this as a payment for that. That's a business deal.
But one is talking about the actual mechanics of what you're doing, and that mechanics is done, the sudar is done in Mekach HaMemcha, so we have some kind of a blima that we don't want to use a Mekach HaMemcha type of kinyan. Here, the kinyan, the mechanics is exactly the same. I'm just saying how I want you to consider it in your mind. Okay. It's a different type of.
So we're going
to
see.
Not similar to Mechir. I'm giving it like I would.
So we're going to see. Hopefully, we get to it today. That Reb Shimon in Shaar Yeshu has a similar idea like what you're suggesting, to why it's different. Hopefully, we'll get to it. I don't know about today, but hopefully we'll get to it. That's Reb Shimon Zahara. So this is one way to learn the Gemara. So one way to learn the Gemara is that if you give the get as a ksuba, it's lacking in the Nesina, because Nesina has to be independently for no other reason. The Rashba has a whole different way of learning this Gemara. The Rashba writes, Temuyoli. He doesn't understand the Gemara. Eich ef shaloi makin. How on earth can you think that you can give a get and a ksuba in one shot? Since you're giving the body of the get for the ksuba, it's like the letters fly in the air. So this is why we brought this Gemara in initially. We had a Gemara a while back where the Gemara has this problem that if you give a get to a lady and you tell her, I want to retain ownership of the paper, the Gemara says, no good. Why is it no good? So Rashi used the words because the letters are flying in the air. So the Rashi says, same problem over here. I gave her a get and I'm using the get as the ksuba. Says the Rashba, that's the equivalent of giving a get and asking for the paper back. Now, initially, that sounds very strange. That doesn't sound like a fair comparison. But the Rashba thinks that if I give a lady a get and I demand the paper back, that's the same thing as giving her a get and telling her use it as a ksuba. So the Rashba says that this Gemara doesn't make any sense. How can it work? This Gemara is a direct contradiction to the Gemara before. Now, just to be fair and honest, those words, Oisis Parechas Ba'aver, is not really brought down in the Gemara. That's not how the Gemara explained that. The Gemara didn't say anything. Those are the Rishonim's words. But the Rashba clearly assumed that when you give a get and a ksuba as one, that presents a problem of Oisis Parechas Ba'aver.
When you say the ksuba, you mean the ksuba get, right?
Yeah, the money, the value. Give her a piece of gold.
Doesn't it?
You want the value of the paper to be the money.
Right, but what I'm saying is, if the paper, it's worth, let's say, shav or puta, not even.
Right.
So if it's worth a lot, it's one thing. But the fact that it's worth so minimal, could you say, hey, listen, it just doesn't work that way?
No, it has to be worth the value. If it wouldn't be, it wouldn't work. Yeah. So we're going to see that the Taz has this issue of gittin uksuba ba'im kechot. We keep on talking about gittin v'yodin. He has the idea of gittin uksuba ba'im kechot. We'll get to that hopefully in a few minutes.
Why, is there a problem with that?
No, he's going to see how he's going to answer up a kasha based on that.
So if I have somebody $100,
normally you could. So why is get different? That's the question. The question is, why is get different? So that's what we're going to have to try to figure out. So the Rashba learns a whole new pshat in this Gemara. Zog the Rashba v'nirili, the kima the amal ahachi v'hi kablotsoi, have like amal ahiskabli gitech umach le ksuba seich. Says the Rashba, you're right, you can't use a ksuba to be a get, and a get and a ksuba can't be together. So how does this whole Gemara work? The answer is, it's not a ksuba and a get, it's just a get. So where's the ksuba? She's moich le ksuba. So the Rashba learns the Gemara. The Rashba learns the Gemara that when he gives her the get and the ksuba as one, it's not the pshat that it's functioning as a get and as a ksuba. It's only one. It can only be one. Because if it's going to be both, it's not going to work as a get. So you got to pick which one it's going to be. Says the Rashba, it's going to be a get and not a ksuba. So how's the Gemara say he was yaitz a ksuba? Says the Rashba, because she's Michael's the ksuba. There's no ksuba if she's Michael.
Because there's value there.
We're going to see why. Good. Okay, good. The Pashas of the Gemara doesn't sound like the Rashba. What it could mean just means we always know Rashi says that Mechilos Kilu Kabalta, as if you got it. So when it says the Gemara she was a Skabla, it doesn't mean she actually got the money. It means she feels as if she received her Ksuba. Although she never really got it, you can't take it to the bank because there is no Ksuba here. But that's the way the Rashba learns the Gemara. But again, the Chiddush of the Rashba, besides how he learned the Gemara, is why he couldn't learn the Gemara like Rashi. The Rashba was convinced that you can't have a get and a Ksuba being the same. Why? Because if I'm giving you a get to be a ksuba, that means there's no letters here. Nimtze oisias parachas ba. Those are the words of the Rashi.
Obviously, Rashi who says that Lashon doesn't know.
Well, not right. I would have assumed it's not a problem. We'll see. Even later, Achrayim don't understand the Rashba's comparison. Those are the words of the Rashi. So points out Nachum. He says, I don't understand. Frak Nachum is chedush Nachum. I could not mention. They say about Reb Nachum Patovich in last week's parsha. It says that when Aaron was told by Moshe to bring the karbonis. So it says in the pasuk that Moshe, that Aaron was embarrassed. He didn't want to go. And Moshe told him, Rashi quotes it, Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu told him, go because the kach nevcharta. This is why you were chosen. So they say about Reb Nachum, and Reb Nachum once said a shir in front of, I think, Mrs. Zalman and a bunch of other gedolim, and he was petrified the whole time. And after the shir, someone asked him, so what was he so petrified about? He gave a terrific shir. He said that's why he gave, that's why he is who he is, because he was embarrassed. And Nachum, when he used to say shir in front of other great people, he was embarrassed. He didn't just walk in like he owned the place and get. He felt a certain amount of busha that I'm not worthy to say over Torah in front of these people, even though he said terrific Torah. So Reb Nachum, they say about him in other svarim, those of the Rosh Hashivas of the Mir, they say Reb Nachum always, that's the way he lived his entire life. He always felt himself to be embarrassed, not because he wasn't able to. He felt he wasn't roi to do certain things, and that's why one of the great character traits about Reb Nachum. In any case, Reb Nachum will be.
By the way, Rav Asher, who's got the largest share in the world,
is the exact same. That's the godless of these people. That's why they hardly are. The Kach Nevchart, Rashi says, that's why you're great, because you have a sensitivity to Bush. But Rav Nachum has a kash on this Gemara. Frank Rav Nachum, if you learn like the Rashba, what's the Shach Vatari of the Gemara? The Gemara had a question, and the Gemara gave an answer. What happened? Rava walked in with a Shiloh. He wanted to know what's the din. So what was Rava thinking? According to the Rashba, it's not a Lomdish Shiloh. It's a simple shayla. Yes, yeah, she's Michael. No, she's Michael. What's the grace of Lom, the shayla and the Gemara? So, Frank Nachum, what was the whole study has suffic? Rava walked in with a suffic, and then Rav Nachum seemed to have answered it. And then we had a kashim. What's the whole conversation of the Gemara? This is not an argument in halacha. This is a mitzvah. Are women Michael the Ksuba or they're not Michael the Ksuba? If they are, they are. They're not. Move on.
Are we assuming that it's automatic she's Michael, or she has to say something?
So it could be that there is a underlining Lom, the shemachalik is over here, of whether or not there's an assumed Mechila. Do we need to hear a Mechila? But Rav Nachum writes over in number 5, he says, "V'tzarich bi lefi dvarav." The man is stopping Rava. What was Rava not sure about? Delay Mahani uba ma'pligi Rava Nachman. What's the whole argument between Rava and Nachman? Ha'isha machlak subasa. Allah is liable machlak suba. Vekin the sin l'shem gerishin, and therefore there was a valid in the sinah. V'doichik loymar dechol hanida besugin hu beumdan das isha imachla oiler. Nachman thinks it's a doichik to say that what Rava and Nachman were arguing about is what's the mitzias. Is most girls moichel or they're not? That's a not such a lomdu shemachleikas. That's a, you know, take 100 women and pull them and find out. But Rav Nachum thinks that's a doichik to learn that the shayla of Rav and Rav Nachman was whether or not women are moichel. So according to the Rashba, you have to bavar in this kasha. If the whole Gemara's answer is it's mechila, so what's the whole shayla of the Gemara? What's the lomdu shemachleikas? On the premise of the Rashba, many achrayim took issue. The Moshul, the Rashash, writes over here on the Gemara, he writes, V'loi domi l'niyor shali. The case of Tats Shel Zav is not at all comparable to the case of where you retain ownership of the paper. Because if I give you a piece of paper and I demand the piece of paper back, I gave you nothing besides for letters, and letters doesn't work. Points out the Rashash, what do you mean? Over here, how you tell me, what does the Rashba mean when he says, it's, what letters are flying in the air? She's holding on to the ksuba, and she's holding on to the piece of paper, she's holding on to the gold, everything is fine. It has nothing to do with the Gemara before. Even though the intent was to give it for the price of a ksuba, that's also called nesina. So Frekta Rashash, he Pasha doesn't understand the Rashba's lumdus. What was the Rashba saying? That if I give the get as a ksuba as well, it's like the letters are flying. Why are letters flying anywhere? Letters only fly when there's no paper. This is right here. It's on the piece of gold. What's the problem? So therefore, the Rashash doesn't understand the Rashba's cheshba. If you look in the Taz points out something also very interesting. According to this Rashba, you have to make another kimta in the Gemara. You can only do this if she agrees to get divorced. Now we know one of the ways to divorce a lady is bar karcha. She can divorce her against the will. But according to the Rashba, if I would write on the get a tas shel zav and give it to the lady, and she doesn't want to get divorced, so then I wouldn't be able to give it as a get. Why? Because the whole reason why this works according to the Rashba is because you have a mechila on the ksuba. But if she doesn't want to get divorced, she's probably not going to be mechila ksuba. So if she doesn't want to get divorced, points out the Taz, then you would not be able to use this trick of giving a Taz Shel Zav. If you don't like Rashi, that Rashi is somehow going to tell you that it's not a problem to do two things with one thing, so then it would work. But if you're going to go like the Rashba, then the Chayr, it's not going to work if you're going to divorce a Bal Karcha. That's the aura that the Taz has. Says the Chassam Sofer, I'll take it a step further. If that's correct, why did the Gemara even have a Kasha from a Braisa? The Gemara has a Kasha from a Braisa that you see in the Braisa, you're not allowed to use a Ksuba as a get. Maybe that's talking about a case where she's being niskarsha bal karcha. That's why it doesn't work. But in the case where she's being niskarsha biritzayne, maybe it wouldn't be a problem. So many achrayim take issue with the Rashi's pshat and how it's going to work. The question is, how do other people learn the sugya? So we're just going to try to jump around because we're short on time over here. If you look very quickly at number 11 in the Torah writes very, very mufurish. Katsvu al tash al zahav, v'omah hareze gitach, v'tiporeya bizahav shibok subasad. He tells her, here's your get, and use it as a payment for your ksuba. Then the skablagita of ksubas points out the stipend. You see clearly the Torah didn't like the Rashba. According to the Rashba, the get's not acting as a tepereya of the ksuba. According to the Rashba, the get is the get, and she's meichel the ksuba. So points out the stipend. You see from this Torah that the Torah did not learn like the Rashba. The Torah learned that you're making a real perayin over here. You're able to do two things with one piece of paper. Why is that not Oseis Parachas Ba'avad? Like the Rashash said, because over here it's no Shaychas. So therefore, it's a Machloikish Rishonim. Is this piece of gold actually acting as a Ksuba, according to the Torah, or according to the Rashi? But it's not a Ksuba, but she's Moichel the Ksuba. The Rambam, in number 13, writes like this. Chokach HaGet Al Tashel Zahav. You etch out a get on a piece of gold. V'nosnala, you give it to her. V'omala, you say to her, Arezi Gitech, V'ksuba Seich. Kosher. V'niskabu Ksuba So. Im Yesh Betas K'dei Ksuba So. If the piece of gold has the value of the Ksuba, if it imlav, and if it does not, Yashlam Ksuba So. You have to make up the difference. So points out, Abdavid Pavarsky says, 1 second. If it's according to the Rajba that she's Moichel the Ksuba, who cares what it's worth? Why should it matter what it's worth? She's Moichel because she's Moichel. So who cares how much the tashels of is valued? Beishlom, according to the Torah, where the tashels of is the payment, so it's got to be equal payment. You can't cheapen around the Ksuba. But says Abdavid Pavarsky, if you're learning like the Rajba, that the whole tashels of is just the get and the Mechila is on the Ksuba, so why should it matter how much it's worth? So he says, oh, it's a raya that the Rambam went like the Torah. Reb David Pavarsky says later, it's not a raya at all. Maybe even according to the Rashi, but there has to be some reason why this girl's going to be Meichel Ksuba. It has to be worth it for her. So if she at least takes away the paper, the tas, and the tas is worth the money, she'll walk away and be willing to be Meichel. But if you're giving her a piece of gold that's not worth a dollar, and you tell her, be Meichel, why should she be Meichel Ksuba? So therefore, maybe according to the Rambam, you need it to be in Yesh Betas Kdei Ksuba, so just to get her to want to be Meichel. That's the way Reb David Pavarsky learns the Rambam. So it's not muchach in how to learn the Rambam. The problem is with all this is, let's go back to the sugi we started off with. We had a gemara where you give the lady a piece of paper and you tell her, I'm retaining ownership of the paper, is it good or not? So we had a machlokes rishonim, why is the get no good? According to Rashi, the reason why the get was no good is because he had this problem called Oseis Parachas Ba'avir. The letters are flying in the air, it's not a good ma'aseh nesivah. According to the Rambam, the reason why it was no good was because you're connected. So Reb Nachum says he has a very big problem in this gemara. If you hold like the Rambam, when you give a lady a paper and you're holding onto the paper, it's considered you're connected. Why should Tash Shalzov even be an issue? What was Rava thinking initially that Tash Shalzov should be problematic? If you learn like Rashi, that when you give the piece of paper and you hold back, so then that's a problem of Oseis Parachas Ba'avir. So the Rashi said, oh, maybe here also. But if you're going to go like the Rambam, that according to the Rambam, the only issue is as long as you're not connected. When I give her a piece of gold, we're not connected whatsoever. We're done, we're finished. So what's even a suffix? What was Rava's suffix? So Reb Nachum Tainet, that's goof for the suffix of Rava. Rava wasn't sure how to learn that case. Rava wasn't sure, is Pshat like Rashi or is Pshat like the Rambam? If the chsarin is by, when you give it a piece of paper, and you retain ownership is because, Oseis Parachas Ba'avir, so like the Rashi says, you have the same problem here. But if the problem with the Gemara is like the Rambam, that we're not connected here, so it shouldn't be a problem. That's how Reb Nachum wants to learn the Gemara.
Why do you have the same problem with Oseis Parachas Ba'avir in case of
Like the Rashi said. However you're going to learn the Rashi, which we still have to talk about. However you're going to learn the Rashi, but you have the same problem. Yeah, okay. What?
Maybe they're still connected.
Why?
Because he's connecting the get with the ksuba.
Therefore?
She's only agreeing to the get if the ksuba is attached.
So,
therefore, if you're telling me that the ksuba is not included here, so yeah. Then maybe they're connected.
So we're going to have to leave that for next week, where Basha Weiss has a piece of Minchas Asher, where he wants to say maybe not. Maybe even according to the Rambam, who learns that the problem with the paper is we're connected, and here you can argue about the connection. He has a tzad that even over here you're connected as well. So Mitzvah Shem, for next week we'll finish that up. Then Belined will do the last sugya that I want to do from Zechus Gittin is the sugya that we talked about, but we really need to get into the sugya of Isuri Ano. Writing again on Isuri Ano, how does that work? The Lomdus, the Ktsois. It's going to be basically another recap of everything we learned in Hazayrik, but hopefully we'll tackle all that Lomdus then.